Hey there. It's time for a bonus episode of Get Legit. Why? Because there is shit we need to talk about. The federal government has passed the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act, and there are more new laws coming. For today, we are going to just jump in to the first relief act. I will do another episode for the next relief act. All right. Let's get into it. Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. All right. Let's just jump into it. This is me going through the legislation that has come out. This is not legal advice because lawyer, I have to disclaim things. I am going to break down options for you if you're an employee, for you if you're a business owner, and the options as they stand today if you are self-employed. More options are coming if you're self-employed, so don't despair just yet. I promise there's more, but the stimulus bill that's being discussed right now isn't finalized, and I don't want to give you information that is still subject to change. So let's just talk about the shit that we know today and come on back, come on back in the next one. If you want to see any of the resources I have on this, they are in the show notes. You can go to my website. There's a link right at emilydbaker.com that'll take you to all of my COVID resources. And if you want this guide, you can go to emilydbaker/COVID guide, but there will also be a link in the show notes that will get you to a downloadable PDF that is free that breaks down all of this information. So if you're like, I don't even remember what she said, but I know I need to see it, get the guide. It's in the show notes. I've got you. If you follow me on Facebook or if you're in the Get Legit Community Facebook group, you will also see these things in those places. I am trying to make as many resources available to help you during this time as I can. And really, I just feel like I want to help and I'm not sure what to do. And this is what I can do. I can break down stuff that other people have enacted and tell you what to do with it. So here we go. The Families First Coronavirus Relief Act was passed on March 18th, 2020. It goes into effect April 2nd, 2020, though in some places on the government website, it says April 1st. So let's just go with April 1st for the sake of caution. It goes into effect maybe on April Fool's Day. There is a new language poster, a new poster with new language that the Department of Labor has put out that you need to put up in your workspace if you have employees or you need to notify your employees of. Let's talk about who this applies to as a business. It applies to businesses with fewer than 500 employees, so from 0 to 500. Now, it also extends provisions to businesses from 0 to 50. A lot of these regulations did not apply to businesses under 50 employees before this act was passed and goes into effect at the beginning of April. So if you are in that category of a business with fewer than 50 employees, know that this is adding things onto your plate that didn't previously apply that you need to set up procedures to deal with, okay? If you are an employee for a company under 500, it is likely that these new provisions are available to you. Note that there are exceptions. Businesses with fewer than 50 employees may qualify for an exemption to some of the provisions of this act, particularly the longer paid family medical leave provision. I'm going to call that FMLA, not FML. I see you being cheeky. FMLA. If your business cannot financially sustain the FMLA provisions, you may be able to opt out as a business owner. If your employees are healthcare providers or emergency responders, you may also be able to exclude them. The thought being, in an emergency, emergency responders need to respond. So they're excluding them. My opinions on that aside, those are the exceptions. What is added in this act for employees that need to be facilitated by businesses? There is an emergency sick leave, which is a 2-week option, and then expanded paid FMLA leave. Generally, a Family Medical Leave Act is a 12-week unpaid leave during which you cannot be terminated from your job, during which you cannot be demoted and things like that. This expands that to be a paid Family Medical Leave Act, where it might not have been even applicable before, because businesses under 50 employees did not have to provide a FMLA leave. The thought being that if you're a small, small business and two people are out on an FMLA leave, you have to have people working in your business. You can't sustain and necessarily save that job when they are gone. So, not getting into all of the employment law around FMLA leave, the thing is, if people are entitled to take it, you can't stop them from taking it. If your employees qualify, they are entitled to this, except in the case of businesses with fewer than 50 employees who may have an exemption for some of these paid leave provisions. So let's operate not in the exception category and charge ahead. This act breaks down by circumstance and then tells you what to expect based on the circumstance. So for employees, that means you are a W-2 employee, not an independent contractor, not a freelancer, a W-2 employee. If one of these three circumstances apply, then I will tell you what the options are. So if you are subject to a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order related to the situation with COVID-19, if you've been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine because of COVID, or if you are experiencing COVID-19 symptoms and are seeking a medical diagnosis, that can be through something like telemedicine if you are not at the point where you can go to an ER. And now that we're seeing hospitals become burdened by COVID patients, that is what most states are advising people do. So if it's one of those three reasons, and again, remember, I have a PDF guide if you want to see this all in writing. It's in the show notes. If you are going on leave for one of those three reasons, you are entitled to 2 weeks, up to 80 hours. If you are a full-time employee, then you are entitled to 100% of your regular rate of pay or 100% of the minimum wage, whichever is higher, up to $511 per day, up to a maximum of $5,110 over the 2-week period. If you are a part-time employee, you are entitled to 100% of your regular rate of pay or 100% of the minimum wage, whichever is higher, for the number of hours that would normally have been worked over that 2-week period, up to $511 per day, up to that $5,110. But we know that if you are part-time, you're probably not going to hit that full 80 hours because part-time. So that is for the quarantine or isolation order, advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine, or you're experiencing symptoms. Under those three circumstances, 2 weeks, 100% paid, up to $511 a day. Moving on. Under the next two circumstances, and when you look at my downloadable or if you look at the law, these are numbers 4 and 6. Number 4 is if you are caring for an individual subject to either a quarantine or isolation order or who has been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine. So if you are a caregiver for a compromised or elderly adult, a compromised child, those caregiving situations where you are taking care of someone who has been ordered to quarantine or self-isolate, or because they've been ordered to, or who has been advised by a healthcare provider to quarantine or self-isolate. So caregiving, circumstance 4. And then circumstance 6 is a catch-all provision for an individual who is experiencing any other substantially similar conditions specified by the Secretary of Health and Human Services in consultation with the Secretaries of Labor and Treasury. This provision allows flexibility as the circumstances around COVID continue to change so that they don't have to pass a new bill. Okay, this allows for other circumstances to be identified by the Secretaries of Labor, Treasury, and Health and Human Services. I almost said circuses. It feels like a circus. Health and Human Services. Okay, so under provisions 4 and 6, an employee is entitled to 2 weeks up to 80 hours paid at 2/3 the regular rate of pay or minimum wage, whichever is higher, meaning 2/3 of your pay rate unless you get paid below minimum wage, and then it's 2/3 of minimum wage, up to $200 per day, up to $2,000 per the two-week period. Or if you are a part-time employee, say it with me, 2/3 the regular rate of pay or minimum wage, whichever is higher, for the hours you normally would have worked over the two-week period, up to $200 per day. I feel like I'm saying so many P's breaking down this law that I'm just like, so I apologize to everyone and my lovely editor, Daniel. One more circumstance on this, you guys. Number 5 is a separate circumstance. If you are caring for a child whose school or place of care is closed for reasons related to COVID-19. So if you are now finding yourself rocking that homeschool life because your kid's school has been like, peace out until April or May or the end of the year or whatever, then you are entitled to up to 12 weeks of leave. The first 2 weeks are unpaid, though an employee may use their own sick, personal, or vacation days, and then 10 weeks paid at, for a full-time employee, 40 hours per week, paid at 2/3 of their regular rate of pay, up to $200 per day, up to $12,000 total over the 10 weeks. And for a part-time employee, for the number of hours they would have been scheduled to work during that period of time, up to 2/3 of their rate of pay, up to the $200 per day, up to $12,000 total. Though a part-time employee is not going to hit that because it's assumed that they work less than 40 hours a week, and that is why they are, in fact, part-time. So for reason number 5, that is where you're seeing the ability for businesses under 50 employees to opt out if they can't sustain that 10 weeks of payment. They cannot opt out for a W-2 employee of the emergency sick provisions, which were the items 1, 2, and 3, the quarantine, self-isolate, experiencing symptoms, actually being sick. Okay. So those are the options available to employees as it stands today. Those are not the only options because currently some employees are no longer employees. So if you have been laid off or if you need to stop working entirely, there are options under unemployment as well. And in the guide that I have, I've given all of the links where you can go and find your state unemployment options. But if you are unemployed and you are sick or you have been quarantined or you are taking care of a child due to school closures and cannot work, there are the ability to file for unemployment in those circumstances as well. Okay. And that's an extension because of the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act. So even if you've had to choose to leave work because of one of those circumstances, you can still apply for unemployment. There are other options that are rolling out if you are or have become unemployed, or if you've had hours reduced, or if you've been furloughed, meaning your company has said, hey, we can't pay you right now because we're closed. Please go away and come back in a couple of months when we can open again. There are provisions in unemployment because of the circumstances that allow you to file for unemployment in those cases and in some situations not have to continue to look for work like you do under traditional unemployment. There are also options for mortgage protection, eviction protection, necessities of life where the government has in a lot of states and localities ordered cell phone providers, internet providers, utility providers to not shut off necessities. yes, Wi-Fi is a necessity. So there's that. And as always, not as always, as for all of these categories, the tax deadline has been pushed to July 15th. If you are expecting a refund, you can still file your taxes early. You don't have to wait. So if you need that money back and you're expecting a refund, my suggestion is always go ahead and file if you are able to. Options for business owners. Under the FFCRA, you've heard all of the options that your employees are entitled to. If you are the only employee of your business, if you're a small business and you pay yourself W-2, you can also take a lot of those leaves if you have to stop working. You can take the 2 weeks of paid sick and be reimbursed for it. You can pay yourself as an employee for the 10 weeks of leave and be reimbursed for it. The reimbursements are being facilitated by the IRS, and what they are doing to reimburse employers that need to pay emergency sick or expanded FMLA under this act is to allow you to get a credit back or a refund back if the credit exceeds the amount that you've paid. So if the amount owed exceeds the offset, you'll get the money back from the IRS. You get back dollar for dollar the amount that you paid to the employee, any expenses related to maintaining health coverage for the employee, and there's no tax liability on what was paid. So normally when you pay W-2, you pay the employee what they're owed, and then you pay a taxes portion. There's no federal taxes on that. So you will be reimbursed for those things. Okay? So if you have to and can maintain this as an employer, you will be reimbursed for all the money that goes out. There are provisions to be able to get those refunds back within 2 weeks. The IRS is saying that they are doing that, but this counts for things starting after April 1st. For business owners, the SBA economic injury loan is also an option. In the show notes, there will be an option where you can find my walkthrough of how to apply for the SBA economic injury loan. It's a process that we've gone through over at our house, and then I've walked through the whole loan application process and broken it down for you if you need help with that process, because there is a lot of information to gather. Unemployment is an option if you are a W-2 employee of your own business. And again, if you are a business owner, that tax deadline is extended. But if you think you might get a refund, I always advise go ahead and file, get that refund. The IRS is working overtime to get these refunds out, I would imagine. If you are self-employed, there are provisions in the new legislation that is coming to help people who are self-employed. In some circumstances, the FFCRA reasons that we talked about make you eligible for the same tax credits that you would have, you know, if you would have paid yourself, or if you did pay yourself, you're eligible for the same tax credits, even though you are not a W-2 employee, if your business can afford to pay you, if you cannot work. If you are still able to work, then some of those things don't apply. If you can work remotely, you can't then take a medical leave. If you are unable to work and you can afford to pay yourself a medical leave, you can get those tax credits back even if you're self-employed. You can also apply for the SBA economic injury loan, saying that you are economically injured because of this circumstance. If you are an online business, it's going to be harder to qualify if you are still able to work. So if it's just my clients can't pay me anymore, it's going to be harder to qualify than, hey, the government mandated that I close all of my locations. So yes, it will be a little harder for the online business folks, but you can still apply. And again, that tax deadline extends and applies to you. I am going to wrap this up here because there are multiple other topics we can get into, and I wanted to keep this short so that you have the information you need on this topic. I will be back to talk about the new stimulus, the $2 trillion stimulus package. I will be back to talk about other things related to COVID and some of the other ancillary stuff that's going on right now with, like, you know, Kanye West and Taylor Swift. And we're going to talk about other stuff too on other episodes of Get Legit. So If you are interested in any of the resources I've mentioned, take a look in the show notes. You can always find them on my website, emilydbaker.com, or on any of my social medias at the Emily D. Baker. You can come and follow me on my Facebook page, which is where I'm posting resources the most frequently, because it's just an easy place to post articles, resources, website links. So the Facebook page and the Get Legit community over on Facebook, getlegitlive.com, is a great and easy way to get there. But all of those links are in the show notes for you. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out on any of those channels. I am here to help you. If you have a community that needs this information, share this episode with them and reach out to me if you need additional help. I'm here for you. You guys, what each of us does matters. So may your Wi-Fi be strong. May your toilet paper be plentiful. May your families be healthy. And may the odds be ever in your favor. Thank you so much for listening. I know what it's like to find a podcast you connect with, and then you want to talk about it, and you want to talk about the things you've heard, and you want to chat with other people and hear their opinion. And sometimes that's not the people that are around you. I mean, you can always tell them to listen. But I've created a community for us to keep those conversations going, for me to answer your questions, and to share some behind the scenes and exclusive content, and maybe some deeper takes on the stories as we talk about them. So if you want to join that conversation with the Get Legit community, come on over to www.getlegitlive. I'd love to see you there. So come on by, say hello, and join the conversation.